You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Better be swinging nuts and dick if you want me to watch the game. You feel me?
Because this is what y'all sound like.
I need that shit to be thick and veiny before I'm willing to roof you. You want me to buy your shirt and I don't know if you got it like that?
Bro.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
Can I just call out Tom Segura on something real quick?
Whoa, the bilingual king, Tom Segura?
Okay. You know, for those of you who don't know, he's a Peruano, half Peruvian.
Right.
Apparently, there was a portion of his interview on the late show with Stephen Colbert that did not air. So he talked about it, and Stephen Colbert asked him, what is the ranking of Latin Americans?
The ranking.
Right, the ranking.
The power ranking.
So he said Argentinians first. Close your ears, SKC. Wow. TV.
Excuse me?
Okay. He said, then it goes down from there. He said, we don't consider Brazilians because they speak Portuguese, which a lot of people will co-sign.
Yeah.
They don't consider them as Latin American. They're definitely South American, but they didn't ask about South America.
Yeah, well, they are Latin American. They're not Hispanic.
Sure, but we're not, they don't, you know, when we list Latin American countries, right. We typically forget Brazil.
Yeah.
Even though Brazil's the vibes, shouts to Brazil. He said, once you get to Central America, and look, I do look comedian, right? We're getting jokes. But here's what I got a problem with.
All right.
He said, the Caribbean, they're the bottom.
What?
He said, they're the hillbillies of Latin America. Y'all would have no sauce if it wasn't for us.
We mean salsa,
of course. What would y'all be doing? What would y'all be doing? Tap dancing if it wasn't for us? Y'all would have no music if it wasn't for us. Y'all would have no vibes if it wasn't for us. And not one of y'all could hit a home run. Done.
I mean, straight up facts.
Bro.
All right.
The Caribbean, we're not the hillbillies, bro. We're the sauciest ones, bro.
Look, there's
who got more sauce than us? Think about it.
Above Caribbeans? Nah, nobody has more.
Zero.
Sauce. Nobody has more.
It's
sauce.
Zero. It's legitimately zero.
I mean, the closest that we can get is probably Mexican.
Mexican
is like, there's a debate.
Here's where they
to
lose points. Here's where they lose points, though. And look, yo, for all my Mexicanos out there, I love y'all.
Love Mexico.
Here's where they lose points. Accordion and fringe. You feel me? You lose points when you bring out the fringe and the accordions, fam. I don't care how popping you made it.
Bro, I don't.
You know when that shit came up on Sábado Gigante, we all got up to make a sandwich, bro.
Bro, I don't. Look, I'm sorry you got colonized by the Polish.
Bro. Wow, awkward. What happened? What boat landed? It is where it comes from. It's polka music.
Right. I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah. It's weird. Okay?
Okay. Look, so when it comes to swag sauce, the Caribbean Latinos, I mean.
Overwhelming.
We're going to have to stand for our peoples.
100%. Where would we list half white Peruvians on the list of acceptable voices in the Latin community?
David Morales just said, did I just join a MAGA live stream? You're here on the right day at the right time. You found your community.
Bro.
SKC Fan TV said, Tom is wild now.
Yo, Tom crazy.
No, but hilarious comic. Tom's
very
great.
Funny
yeah,
comic.
Super funny.
Knows nothing about our culture. Very funny comic.
Does he have a Netflix special in Spanish, or he just does stand-up
no,
in Spanish?
No, I just think he's done stand-up in Spanish. I don't think he has a Netflix special
right,
in Spanish.
He also does his podcast in Spanish. I don't know if he still does, but
I think he stopped doing that.
It was like Tom in Español or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was also really entertaining and really dope. I mean, look, it takes a lot of to be that versatile, okay? It's impressive.
If I had a podcast in Spanish, it'd be 7 minutes. It would be me on the phone with you saying, hey, how do you say press this button again?
No, we can get by.
What is it, like disponible? Something. There's a word they use that I'm like, ain't nobody using this word, bro. We say, aprieta el botón.
Alexis, yeah, his vocabulary ain't too strong. It's all good.
You know what? What I just said might lend some credence to what Tom Segura said before. Good luck cutting this one up, Jamie.
What's good, everybody? Shout to you for joining us on today's show. We're excited, as always. And shouts to OSNYC for welcoming us again. I mean, you can see we should have warned them before, but you can see the owner in the shot now. he's running the place, doing his work.
He's so good at it, he's not even hearing us, bro.
No, but OSNYC, the dopest gaming space here in New York City. If you are want to hang out, have some drinks, play some video games, or you can live stream from
what you want to do.
The live stream cube,
bro. How about you just want to come here and have a dope cocktail? How about that?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, wow, who's telling you can't have dope cocktails?
Bro, there's video games here. You ain't got to go get all in there. Bro, you could just come and have a you nice know, little cocktail, listen to the pew-pew and a bing-bing and a bing-bing-bing. You know what I mean?
Alexis is still playing Galaga.
You know, all the popular video games sound.
You know, Frogger, the kids love Frogger nowadays.
It's all sounds made with an 85-year-old keyboard. You come watch that.
But no, seriously, it's one of the dopest spaces here in New York. If you want to, play some games, have some drinks, go on a date, OSNYC is the spot for you.
That's okay. Right. And if you want to come here, just ask somebody, yo, where's the Manhattan Bridge? And then when you get to the Manhattan Bridge, swing a 180, and there it is. We're right here. We can see the Manhattan Bridge right here. Yes, remember that time we saw the guy with the duck hat or whatever he was wearing, the helmet, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And then we saw a dude just walking on. You're not allowed to do that.
These arches, I was watching one of Tom Delgado's videos, and I think it was the arches are they mimic the French
Arc de Triomphe.
I think so. I believe it's this one.
We have three or four arcs.
Yeah.
They're not arches.
I mean, look, New York really bit the style of a lot of older cities. You know what I mean?
No, you know what we did is we co-signed what they did by doing it as well.
Right.
We
right.
say, yo, in fact, we give you a check. We validate what you did by doing it here. And then once it's here, we say, yo, now it's valid.
Right. I mean, those the French arcs are like from, you know, they're like...
They tried something.
They're 600-700 years old. Ours are like 40, bro.
Bro.
Right?
Ours are fresh.
They got the new arc smell.
Right? But do not smell the arcs, bro. I promise you. It's not a good vibe, you know?
But no, we're excited.
Nueva York, papá. That's right, SKC fan. TV shouts to everyone. Oprime el botón. Thank you, Paolo Nelson. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody oprimiing nothing, bro. Aprieta el botón.
We're just saying squeeze the button.
Yeah, but still. You're squeezing it into the machine, bro, which doesn't make sense since it's all smartphones.
Anyway,
does your mother do this? My mother will.
We'll get the soccer. I promise you. Does your mother do this? Euros.
Does your mother leave the cell phone in a different room?
Did my mother leave?
Does she do this? Like charge the phone in a different room and then go about her business so that you can't reach out to her?
No, I don't know. But no, she.
How do you call your mom?
I just call her.
On a
well, she just so we just moved the landline to her cell phone. So now we got rid of the landline, and now the old landline number is just her cell phone.
Okay,
but for years it was landline.
You had landline and cell phone.
Yeah,
my mother does this. She'll put the phone to charge in her bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and go about her business.
Right.
And then maybe my aunt or something will be on the landline, and apparently call waiting is too expensive. I think it might be 75 cents a year. It's too expensive.
You can't add it to the budget. There's no, we don't have it.
So my mother did this. She texts me, call me as soon as you can, in Spanish, plug the phone in to charge, left the phone.
Right.
Left the phone.
His message will get to me somehow. I mean,
so I immediately call her cell phone. Voicemail. Voicemail. I said, she must be charging the phone. Why would you text me from that phone if you're going to be charging it?
Right.
So I said, I'll call the house number. Busy tone. Busy. I said, well, coño, if there's an emergency, you're screwed. I hope you're handling it on your own, ma. It was nice knowing you, Daisy.
I can't. Remember the last time I heard a busy signal?
It's jarring. I thought I made a mistake. I thought I called the wrong number.
Did I call some government office?
No, I'm sorry. Am I on the phone with Blackwater right now, dude?
Okay. All right. Well, you know, look, she doesn't. you look, you know, she has to limit her interaction with you because she knows what cost that comes with. You know what I mean?
But why would you text me, yo, call me right away, and then walk away from that phone? That shit don't make no sense, ma.
All right, everybody. What is good? I hope your moms are calling you or...
be respectful.
You know, whatever.
Tell your moms to stop calling us, bro.
Okay. Look, I'm sorry you had to hear it this way.
It's about time, bro. We're both married now. No longer can I just forward the call to Christian.
You know, it was a tough business for a long time. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros. We're the Cooligans. We're funny. We talk about soccer. And hello to the Dan Le Batard fans.
Hello, the Meadowlark. Meet the Meadowlark fam. Let's go.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
That is right, Poppy. Thank you so much for welcoming us, as always. This is an exciting weekend of footy.
It's going to be a big one. Because it's the first of all, you're talking about the last weekend or the next weekend?
No, this weekend, the last weekend that just passed. Yeah.
Oh, it was incredible.
It was incredible. Right?
Shout! Look at it. It came home, huh?
That's it. We gotta give props when props are due. The English women have done it. They've won the Euros.
They did what the men refused to do.
They were like, no, we want to consistently underachieve.
What if we lost to a team that doesn't qualify for the World Cup 2 years in a row? What if we did that?
No, look at this, man. The England women win the Euros. An impressive tournament.
Yeah, in big, big fashion, too.
That's right. I mean, they got a little scary there for, you know, the Germany scored in the 80th minute, 79th minute. And I've got
Germany got a great squad. They got the Ingrid Engen, who plays for Barca, was Oberdorf. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I don't know how to say it.
She's also incredible. Great, great players. But the English ladies were like, what if we...
Yeah, this is...
What if we just won real quick? Do you think...
Well, no,
since the largest attendance for a final in England,
right,
and in its history.
And also, Germany has never lost in... The German women have never lost in a Euro final.
That's because they don't play the Americans, bro.
Bro. I mean, also, you know what? The one thing I was thinking about when it came to watching these Euros is just like how exciting the Euros are versus... especially the women's Euros versus the CONCACAF Women's Championship, right? It's just, it's just
because they're training sessions for the women's national team.
The
bro.
Parity is just it's a lot more even,
right?
In Europe, and which is great to see that there's more countries investing in women's soccer.
Absolutely, it's beautiful to see, and also it goes to show that, you know, teams are starting to catch up to the level that the women's national team here in the U.S. have set. Mm-hmm. Because you're seeing some teams out there that are like, oh, they could give the U.S. women's national team, especially now that we're kind of in a bit of a transition. You know what I mean? Some of that older guard is starting to retire or maybe not will not be playing in the next year or two. It's starting to be a little bit like, oh, wow, okay. You know what I mean? They might be doing some business out there. But if if the U.S. women's national team were invited to the Euros, which will never happen, we would dust all y'all, bro. Dust them.
It would at least it shows you saw what England did to Sweden.
We would bring crock pots because y'all are getting cooked, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, plug it in with your weird plugs, England. Damn. With your big ass plugs.
Not the air fryer. Oh shit.
Wait 75 minutes for nice crispy lioness's wings. Seven, because that's all fit in the tray. You don't want to crowd them.
So, but you saw what England did to Sweden. And this England squad is, look, I'm not gonna say that they're better than the U.S.
right,
but they are, you know, what the last time you know the U.S. played England and Alex Morgan did the tea
little
sip
on
celebration,
tea.
I think this is a very different
it is.
England team.
Which is why I'm saying I think they can compete a little bit.
Look, it's hard to say exactly. From a either technical perspective or from a mentality perspective, how much more they are improved or how much closer they are to the U.S. But the players like, you know, Fran Kirby, Chloe Kelly, Ellen White, who's a little bit older, but there's just a certain
Williamson, level. Williamson, bro.
There's a swag that I think we're not used to seeing.
Also, I think it's like, remember like back in the day, you'd be like, maybe like 2 years ago, you'd say like, oh, these three players are incredibly good. And then you've got a bunch of really, really good players.
Yeah.
Now it seems like the list of incredibly good players has grown. And part of it, I think, is also that the women's it's not called the Women's Premier League.
The Women's Super League,
WSL. WSL has gotten a lot better. And also, the NWSL just continues to grow. And that is just lifting kind of the way MLS has lifted the level of the average player sort of in this hemisphere, or at least yeah. Central America and North America. I think the NWSL has done the same thing. Like, just watching Rachel Daly, I'm like, yo, vibes. Oh, you know what I mean?
She's an absolute baller. When we went to the Everton women's
Everton
match,
ladies,
but they were playing a second division.
Durham,
right? Yeah. They might be second or third division. I don't remember. But
it was a cup match.
We've been to enough NWSL games when you can easily see the
level's different.
The level is very different. And maybe it was just because they were playing a second division team.
Yeah, and I don't think their starters were all starting either.
Yeah.
Some of their starters came in the second half. It was a lower level cup game, so one of the earlier cup
But matches. What's happening at the very least is that it seems like the Women's Super League and the NWSL is providing, you know, England's team, their first 11 were great, but then they also have another, similar to the US, where they almost have like another.
Their bench could do numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
here's what I want to say. You know, now that it's been how many years since the men won an international competition?
66.
1966 was the World Cup win.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Been a minute.
Been about two generations, can we say?
Sure.
Right? We're on Gen Z now, bro.
Answering the phone. She wasn't returning calls even then.
Your mother's calling Christian with one of them old joints. You know what I'm talking about? She was like, hello, operator? Can I have H1 Dominican?
Just hold the thing to her ear.
Surely. clip. Wah-wah. Is someone playing Frogger in the background?
Boom, I got to get the Frogger noise.
Yeah.
Little Pac-Man. Wah-wah.
So stupid. You just went bloop, 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 bloop. Anyway.
Okay.
Well, ridiculousness. It's been a long time since England has won a major international competition. So here's what I say. I'm a little tired of the fact that they call them the light. Oh, okay.
Guinness just
the dog was like, I don't like where this light is real quick.
We should get the dogs on the show more often.
Yeah. I mean, they try. You know, they're helping. They're our tech
Lando,
team.
Lando, come through.
Easy. Turns out I'm a little allergic to Lando's saliva because I was making out with the dog.
The way you find that out is not...
I got bumps all over my asshole.
Might break a couple laws in certain states.
he licked my hand, and I must have done this, and next thing I know, my eyes are itchy as shit. I'd have washed them out. But here's what I'm saying. Okay, the men's team has been a while since they won. The women won. Why do we give them an extra name? Why are they the Lionesses? Nah, man. I think they should be the England national team, and we should come up with a different name for the men's.
the
Blingland, bro.
Blingland, yeah. Sure.
You're the Blingland national team, bro. It actually sounds too baller.
Yeah, that's too kind of a name.
That's too dumb.
This has been a lot of the discourse. I've even seen this in some group chats I might be a part of.
Mm.
When it comes to misogyny, just the being dismissive of women's success or women's success in football. We've had countless female players on the show, and these are we don't differentiate between a male footballer and a female footballer.
Yeah, kicking balls.
It's just like we're here to support the game. And I would say overall, it's a little, and maybe this is just the bubble that we have put ourselves in in social media.
It's possible.
It's a little bit rare, or more rare over time, to see the outright disrespect of women's soccer. Like, it 100%
exists. Yeah, it's less and less. Because I also think it's just, people realize at the end of the day, like, if you love the sport, it's just a fun game to watch. Like, why do you care what's between the legs of the people that are kicking the ball?
I do not care.
Do you care? Be like, I don't know, man. I don't think he got it like that, bro. I can't watch this
I prefer
team.
My footballs to have something there between their legs. Bro, I'm very obsessed
with
this. You
better be swinging nuts and dick if you want me to watch the game. You feel me?
Because this is what y'all sound like.
I need that shit to be thick and veiny before I'm willing to roof you. You want me to buy your shirt and I don't know if you got it like that?
Bro, you need to be packing, dog.
Bro, I need junk. I need junk in the frunk, bro. If I'm going to watch your game, what you got, titties? I can't focus on the game now.
The least you could do is have a massive wang,
right?
Okay?
You got to be swinging, bro. So, I need you to emasculate me if I'm going to watch the sport.
I need it to cast a shadow on me.
100%. I need me to consider you needing an extra shin guard. You know what I mean? I need you to have a third shin guard if I'm going to watch.
So what we're seeing, we're seeing less of that.
It's ridiculous is what y'all sound
but,
like.
But when the U.S., and this is credit to the U.S. women, the 99ers, all the even teams before that have been at the forefront of fighting against that, you know, just either misogyny or just dismissiveness or just disrespect. And this is the opportunity.
Crimson Pizza said, all hooligans are size queens.
But what this has done, and I think, you know, you saw a lot of the English players talking about this in their post-game interviews. I think it was it Williamson who said, you know, after the game, she's saying, like, watch, you know, get tickets to the WSL games, go support Ian Wright when the English women got to the final.
Right.
He had
great clip.
He had he mentioned,
but he's always been in support of the women's game.
Right,
But
he's basically saying, like, it's what it feels like is that that England is definitely, it feels like, at least 10, 15 years behind the U.S. when it comes to just how people view women in the game.
I think it's also difficult to say that specifically. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I just think it's difficult to say that because we also have so many more people. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, the women's team can go on a sellout tour of multiple stadiums, and you probably still have the same amount of men saying, like, oh, right, I don't want to watch it because they don't have big enough dicks, and that's what I need, dude.
Right. Typical bro.
Yo, I just need a big a big fat head, dude, with a little bit of pre-cum on it.
Who's gay? What are you talking about?
Why, dude? It's a sport we're talking about. This is men playing it, dude.
But I don't say that to talk about, like, you know, how many tickets they sell or whatever, but Ian Wright's clip, he had mentioned, you know, a football should be accessible to women in schools.
Yes.
Just even that.
Did you know that they're not allowed to play? I might be getting this wrong. But because that clip, he specifically said they should be allowed to play, like, whatever their, like, recess or gym class is.
Yeah.
The girls aren't allowed to play
Which
football.
Is insane.
It sounds like you're talking about the 1800s. What? They'll break their hymen. You know? That's what it sounds like. Right. I was saying.
It's so if he's complaining about that and he's making that statement, I mean, it does. We don't live there, so we don't know exactly what's going on day to day. But when you see the comments under that clip, it's people are being dismissive of him, of like, why? What are you complaining about? And then you have the dumb, like,
right,
they belong in the kitchen, blah blah blah.
Right.
And so that's where I feel like we're at least ahead, where there's a reverence, there's a respect for the U.S. women's national team and what they've done. Has it trickled down to you know, the leagues themselves? Like, NWSL, they don't sell out every game, but you see, look at Angel City, look at San Diego. I mean, look at these two expansion teams that they've been selling out games. The Angel City OL Reign game last week was bananas.
Dude, there's moments where you're starting to see the support not only, like, shine but grow. And I think Thorns was a good example of that when they first came in. It almost reminded me of when Seattle first came into the MLS. Where you're like, oh, this isn't like this isn't a niche thing anymore. It's starting to get to that point where it bubbles over. I think this is where we're at. So the question that I pose is this enough? Do you think this is enough for Europe, not just England, but Europe, to start respecting the women's game more? Dude, we're seeing some big numbers out of the Barca ladies team.
Yeah, that too. But I would say, I think England is the furthest behind when it comes to accepting that women also play the sport and that the sport.
I don't know who, because I have a feeling Albania might not be the front of the list. You feel me?
Sure. You know what I mean? But look, yes, obviously, as far as, you know, we all sort accept the Premier League is the top league in the world.
Sure.
And so it has the most attention when it comes to the game. And that, so the country, that should permeate through you know, women's sports as well. So just like, you know, it's a work in progress, of course. But at least the thing when NWSL posts a clip or you see, or even, you know, whatever, Bleacher Report or somebody post a clip from a woman's game, and usually it's like the comments are less and less, not a sport, or you know, I don't watch this, who watches this,
right.
You know, it's just, you see it here and there, but it's just less and less. But if it's you know, in England or Women's Super League clip or whatever, there's more English people, those people are louder.
Right.
That's where I think we've progressed a little bit. It's not ideal or perfect.
We ain't there yet, but we're on our way.
Right. So I just think that the England women specifically winning the Euros, I think can do
also at a point where the men are doing well but haven't won anything yet.
Sure.
I think that's important. I think if the men had won and the women had won, there'd be less attention on the women's game.
Sure. Oh, maybe. Maybe. I mean, that shouldn't be the case, right?
No. But I think it just happens to work out so that there's more attention being put on the women's
game. But look, if England is going to be, you know, if we deal with all the comments of like, you know, it's called football, not soccer. You want to be these people that are on your high horse, and this is where the best version of the game is played. Which I don't agree with, but if that's what you want to be and feel, then you have to respect the women's game as well and uplift the game. And it's not even about actively uplifting them, right? But then it's also, then why constantly tear it down? Maybe it takes too much effort to maybe watch or go get tickets or whatever, or go. But why do you have, why, what's the necessity of saying it's inferior or bad or blah, blah, blah? Because it hurts, obviously it hurts the players you're insulting, but it hurts people around you. There's no way that a friend or a daughter or family member can see you behave that way and not think like, and also not believe that, like, oh, maybe this person's right. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
Stuff like that. Or whatever.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Frieber said,
"The Basura."
England men's new team name, The Basuras.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
I mean, they're going to be bilingual. Andrew,
speaking from England, said, "Here's the thing, though. People here just love to follow the hype and success. Hope there are good attendances for the league games here. I'll be watching for sure." So, yeah, I think that's the other thing, too. I think we're at a point now where maybe before social media was what it was, you kind of had to really be a fan of something to go to it, you know? So maybe there was a bigger hill to climb for the women's game. Where now, if something pops off on TikTok or on Instagram, people are going to support it because it's hype. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe that's just what it takes. But I would like to see the, you know, a lot like when we started this show, we wanted to give the American soccer player an opportunity to really, you know, come on the show and get a chance to show their personality and be funny and add value to the player. Now those things like, you know, sneaker shopping on Complex or Kick Game, shopping for sneakers. Great switch of words there. those types of things, those shows like Hot Ones, things like that, those shows that are highlight shows for celebrities to do. Maybe this is a great opportunity for some of those lionesses to get those opportunities and grow that sport that way and get to talk about the WSL on a bigger platform.
Right. Graham Raby said, Robbie said, "Turns out not charging an arm and a leg for tickets increases attendance."
Who would have known, dude?
Michael Raymond said, "Hey, what's up, y'all? What's good, Michael?" And Ice Cold Brew put in quotes, "It's just banter, mate."
Yeah.
You
of course
know?
It is. Go to the games, and then I'll believe it. when we went to the Everton ladies match, I loved the support that was there. These people really cared about the game. You could tell they go to all the matches. It was a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. I that was a cool thing. And when we spoke to Meatball Molly, she had mentioned the same. Also, congrats to Meatball Molly. She just won her latest
fight. Big win.
Another spinning elbow.
Yeah.
Bro, She's going to be a superstar.
Look out for it.
She's going to be like, running UFC soon.
She beat me up with one punch.
Okay.
Legitimately bruised me with a joke punch through a jacket.
Right. Molly McCann.
More like Meat Fist, Molly Brown.
If you haven't, our full interview with her is on Patreon, but you can see her. She's a part of the Everton documentary that we did. It's just Molly had mentioned that about just how, especially the Premier League clubs are starting to be more unified when it comes to showing that appreciation for the men and women's team. And shout out to Manchester City, does this a lot too, and I think Chelsea has done it as well, where they post a new signing. They treat their signings
right,
like the way they
Arsenal
announce
does
the men's,
same thing.
Yeah, so it's just like it's on the regular, Man City account or the Arsenal account or Man United. They just say, hey, yep, this person signed with the team. And then it's those little decisions of like just little by little of just this is just a normal. We're just announcing a player.
We as a club have signed a player.
So why? I don't know why you're mad.
Yeah. Stop asking to check what's in between their pants, between their legs.
It's getting the suggestion box is looking mighty weird.
Wow.
You're asking weird stuff.
Y'all are thirsty, bro. Y'all want to see that man meat, bro.
Okay, congrats to the England women. I mean, part of me doesn't want England to have any joy at all because it's kind of fun to like see them suffer.
Because they sing It's Coming Home. It's really the only reason.
But it's definitely well-deserved win. They were, by far the best team in the Euros. And now I'm excited to see if the next year's World Cup, if the women get, or either in the same group or end up playing. I think they're going to end up playing the U.S. again, and that's going to be a very exciting match. Okay.
I want to read Del Boys, but I'm a little confused by it. It said, I am from London, and the big issue with women's football here is in the transition from amateur to professional has led the women's team being less diverse because they're developing girls from the inner city. Because they're not developing girls from the inner city?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's are you saying less diverse because it's only inner city people, like it's only black people or
no, I mean you could see that.
I don't know.
The kids ain't the only thing all white, you know what I
mean? So I'm assuming yes, it's it's a similar problem here where even outside of race or anything like that, it's still kind of expensive to play the game. Not only are there like fees to play for a particular club or something, but the travel, your parents have to drive you all these places. It might be difficult for them to do that. We've heard this story countless times this is the sacrifice families make to end up creating a professional player. And it might be.
He said they're not developing girls from the inner city. Right. Okay. Yeah, hopefully that's something that can change because obviously a lot of the great players on the men's team are from inner cities or come from backgrounds that aren't historically English.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Hopefully I said that correctly. Don't cancel me because Christian wrote the script.
Okay. A couple other things. And as always, we always mention if anybody in the chat, if you want us to talk about anything in particular, please put it in the chat and we will try our best to get to it. But we do have.
Did you watch the Community Shield?
I did.
What do you think? Do you care about the Community Shield?
I do not care about it. No, I mean
it's a good match to watch.
It's the appetizer, right?
The amuse-bouche. Do you know what an amuse-bouche is?
It's an appetizer.
No.
Well, I don't know exactly.
It's a palate cleanser.
Got it.
Typically it'll be something that is high in acidity so that it cleanses your palate. A very popular one will be like a savory sorbet.
All right. So you eat the sorbet. You eat dessert before dinner.
It's a spoonful.
Oh.
So it's a little tiny. And what it does is for dinners or meals that have multiple courses, you an amuse-bouche clears your palate.
Nice.
So that you're not influenced by previous flavors.
Right. I guess.
Once the current
the Community Shield rinses this filthy American soccer out of my mouth.
Gets this MLS out of my mouth. All that sticky fat from all the MLS is coating and unctuous.
No, man. So, yeah, the Community Shield feels like the first game that with real weight, and the season is about to begin.
It also feels like the managers are like, all right, this is the starting lineup, all right?
But this was, at least for me, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, all right, this is the who's the better signing, Erling Haaland or Darwin Nunez? Before we even get to Darwin Nunez, we'll repeat this.
There's a little thing.
Every day for the rest of our lives while Darwin Nunez is playing in the Premier League, it is Darwin Nunez. Nunez.
It's imagine a Y after the N, the second N. That's it.
That's it.
Nunez. You could get away with that.
Not Nunez.
It's not Nunez.
Because that's not his name.
Why you think they put a little thing on top? Why you think there's a wave on top?
It tells you something.
All right? It signifies, hey, you should be pronouncing this one different.
Because we'll let you get away with a lot of them.
Right.
You know, we get criticism of how we pronounce things and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You're not getting away with this one.
We say schedule. Because CH for us is a cuss sound sometimes.
Yes.
So I get it. But there's no wavy line. If there was a wavy line on top of it, we would start asking questions like, yo, should I be saying this different?
You know, just ask a buddy like, hey, can I copy off of you?
Real quick, you say the word first, and then that's how I'm going to say it.
I know it. I know. I just wanted to test you.
I'm just making sure. Also, before I consider how good you are at saying words, let me see what's between your legs, dude. Because if it ain't swanging, bro.
It's very important that it's swanging.
Look, we're hooligans, bro. So, we need to see them decks, bro.
So, again, Nunez, we'll call you out every time.
If you can learn to say James, I think you can learn to say Nunez.
Graham Raby said James Milner. Yes, we all know him. He's a hero.
We say aluminum, Manjusandu.
Okay.
You say aluminium or some weird shit like that. So, but you also have an extra U in
there. So look, facts are facts. Erling Haaland had an absolute sitter that he just had a tap in. Not the easiest shot in the world. Had to hit it over the keeper, but blast it, hit the crossbar.
Let's not forget, Erling Haaland was about $40 million cheaper.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, look, whatever.
You pay $100 million, you better be getting buckets.
Darwin Nunez gets a goal, celebrates, takes off his shirt. Take it off your shirt at a Community Shield match. How do you feel about that?
You know what? It's... You're doing it for your fans. You know what I mean? You're trying to show like, yo, guess who's here?
Mm.
It ain't just Salah. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a little bit of Nunez.
He almost left, too.
You can't
trust him.
He's saying that with a shirt. He's like, I don't know if y'all caught that. He was about to leave because of the bag. You know what I mean? I would never do that to you. I'm here.
I'm Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, I'm Darwin Nunez. Does anybody need to see my piece real quick? but clearly, he's trying to, you know, first of all, he's a Uruguayan dude. You know, this is how they play.
Yeah.
The garra charrua, right? They go crazy. They leave it all on the pitch. So this is part of it. This comes with it. But what I like about it is it's now starting to ask questions of Erling Haaland, which just means Erling Haaland only knows one thing, and that's just being wild disrespectful. You know what I mean? He's going to score tons.
Yeah. I'm not particularly worried.
Who do you think ends with more goals?
Erling Haaland, by far.
By far?
Yeah, because Liverpool spread their goals out, I think, a little bit more than Manchester City do or did.
Or will.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they are going to be more direct. But here's what I'm wondering. Who's going to have more chances created for them? You would assume it would be City.
If so, not by much. These are the two best teams in the world.
Yeah, this is one and two. This is what the competition is.
And I know Real Madrid won the Champions League, but I would still say Manchester City and Liverpool are I would say third is Real Madrid. I know they won Champions League and they are a good team, but they won. They barely possessed the ball. They didn't dominate by any means.
This seems like an anti-Ancelotti bias because he left. No. He left you and your family.
It isn't that. I mean, I just think the quality of players, not even just solely quality of players, but I think Jurgen Klopp is better at the style of play is I think, a little bit better than Real Madrid. And I know they lost to them in
I would say I'd rather watch, on a day-to-day basis for a full 90, I'd rather watch Liverpool or City play versus Real Madrid. But if we're talking from the 80th minute on, I'd rather watch Real Madrid.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from how spectacular they are. But so even if there was, I think the differences between Manchester and Liverpool are minuscule. I think the details of, I think this transfer window, I think the competition really started in the transfer window, because it feels a little bit like, especially with the news about the Brighton left back, Mark Cucurella.
Right. Who's supposed to go to City for a while now.
Everybody's saying he's going to go to City, right? You see all the rumors, Fabrizio, everything. And now Chelsea's getting in the deal.
Like, we got to do something.
We got to do something. We've been getting hijacked.
Yeah. Also, the news ain't good for us, man. The people whipping us in the preseason.
So it seems like the teams that, you know, will think they will be in the top four, the top six club, are trying to hurt other teams, not by saying, because I don't think Chelsea need Cucurella, but
it knows it weakens
you
City.
If you don't let City get him, right. I think that it fares better for the teams behind Manchester City. That
see, this is a part of corporate espionage that we don't really. My mouth almost didn't say that word. I don't know. That wasn't, you weren't buffering.
The ESPY Awards.
Corporate espionage. This is a part of it that we don't talk about enough. I think as a society, it's, you know, some companies will hire moles to go get jobs out of the companies,
right,
to learn what's going on. But more importantly, is to learn their suppliers and then offer them a bigger contract when you don't even really need that product.
Let's go, bro.
So now you're tying up the amount of production that they can create, which slows down your competition, because that's a product they absolutely need.
Ooh, what, some of the symptoms of capitalism. You'd love to see it.
Like, you know, one of the things when I was at corporate Staples, you know what things they did? They dropped the price of Post-its to like a loss. Which completely rattled everyone.
Well, this is what Amazon does. You know that, right?
Of course.
Amazon, whenever they the products that they highlight, like any product that's popular, they make their own and then cut the price down.
No. Well, Staples had their own called Stickies.
Ooh.
More fun than Post-it.
It ain't Post-it. It's Stickies.
It's more fun than Post-it. Sticky notes?
Okay.
It's kind of fun. But they actually dropped the price of actual Post-its, because that is almost a commodity for businesses.
Yeah.
So if you have a major corporation, which I'm not going to name a few, but a major corporation, and they go, well, how are you going to save me 10%? I'm already getting a great rate. And they go, how about we cut all of your Post-it notes price in half? They'd be like, here's a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
And then in 2 years, and 3 years, you raise the price. But what you did was you took a major competitor out. It's great. It's really smart.
Justin Freeman said, Alexis is offering his services to be a mole for Premier League clubs.
Bro, I will go in there. I'll throw on a tracksuit. I'll walk into West Ham. You know what I mean? And I'll be like, hey, yo, your new striker's here. You know, they'll be like, oh, no, right?
Wow. Okay. Delboy said, Chelsea is that
stinky notes at a nice goal. Which, again, remember, that's shins.
Shin in Italian.
That's shin in Italian.
Okay. Delboy said, Chelsea is that guy who gets cheated on by his ex, so cheats on every other woman they meet to get back at their ex, which is, I mean, you keep.
Yeah.
You're, it's like a bully that gets bullied and then
it's
starts
like
bullying
a kid who
people.
Gets beat, so he beats his
you,
kids.
You gotta end the trauma.
End the cycle, dude. you gotta snip it.
Liverpool won. I did ask you. Did you answer the question about taking your shirt off during a Community Shield? Matt, you already answered that, or
yeah, kind of. I think you're doing it to gas up your fans.
Seemed ridiculous.
It's 100%. It's doing too much.
It feels like playing a charity game,
right?
And then
you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember when Alex Rodriguez tried to start a fight, or did start a fight with the Red Sox player? I can remember his name, but he was like, "Come on," because he thought like this is what's going to get the fans to love me more.
Right.
At that moment, I was like, bro, J-Lo's going to leave you, dude. I knew it right at that moment. I said it
because he's not a fighter.
No, he ain't a fighter.
A-Rod has never.
Also, there wasn't really like a, this wasn't a fight moment. This was a let's bark at each other moment.
Right, right.
But he was like, oh, I need the fans to.
He was like,
me.
Somebody hold me back.
Yeah.
Why isn't nobody hold me back?
Yeah. Why are the other Yankees players hitting me?
Oh my God.
None of you are gonna drink Presidente in 10 years because I own it.
So yeah, so it was it did seem a little absurd, but overall, I think the
Justin Freeberg, very important comment real quick. He said Barwin Buñez versus Burling Ballin in the Blamunity Bleeld. Where were you?
I think I lost my train of thought.
Of course. You were talking about the Blamunity Bleeld.
The Blamunity Bleeld. I was going to make some point about Erling Haaland.
Taking his shirt off.
Oh, no. Oh, so I was going to say this. I do think the fact that Manchester City did lose this game in the way that they did, it, you know, because the margins of error are so slim between these two teams, it did feel a little bit like Manchester City is going to have to keep up with Liverpool. It feels like this is Liverpool's year to win the title in not a COVID year and no break and whatever. I think this is probably their best shot, given how dominant they seem to be against.
It's an arms race.
It is.
So I don't necessarily agree with you. I don't think this is their shot. I think it's a or B. And I think we won't know throughout the season. I mean, we were talking about City having won the league in December, and then next thing you know, it got a little stinky. You know what I mean? It got a little Italian shin in there.
It's a couple stinky notes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? come on, Stables, free business. I think what you're going to see is that as the season progresses, we're going to learn a lot more about what type of club City is going to be moving forward. It feels like Pep is Liverpooling it up a little bit, making it a bit more direct, a bit more heavy press. I don't know. I'm interested. Where is Grealish going to play? You paid $100 million for this dude. Where is he going to play? You know what I mean?
I assume he's going to have a larger role this year, more minutes. And as far as... Also,
I mean, Silva,
Raheem Sterling seemed like didn't see the reason to get rid of him.
But see, for me, this is why it's a sign that they're going to play a bit more direct, because Raheem Sterling.
Well, you have Erling Haaland.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. Raheem Sterling is a ball at his feet, cutting in. You need someone that's going to be able to get a space and send a cross.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not Raheem Sterling.
There was a clip I saw, and I don't know where this was from. I saw it on Twitter about Raheem Sterling and some game where he missed a great chance. Which happened a couple times. Yeah. I mean, he bagged a couple goals, but he's definitely been known to miss really good opportunities.
Sure.
And he was taken out of the game, and he just showed a level of maturity. How old is Raheem Sterling now? Like
27?
I think he might be even younger.
No, he's 27.
But he was taken off, and
27.
And Pep had said that he took him off because. This might have been an all or nothing, but he said, I took him off because he missed that chance, which it was like very, he was like, he told him, you don't miss, you can't miss shots like that. So I took you off because you missed. And Raheem was like, I understand. It makes complete sense. But you rarely hear anything like that. Cause usually it's the, you know, give him his confidence. I don't want to pull him out of a game.
I'm gonna shatter my guy, bro.
Okay. But to hear that level of transparency.
Like, Raheem, you got to come off because you missed that chance and your children don't respect you. What?
Wait, that second one.
I feel like that one cut deep,
did
bro.
Did they tell you something?
Wait, is there a phone call that happened?
Are you allowed to have a phone on the pitch? I don't know. How are they getting such direct access to you, Pep? No, but so look, it's going to be a tight. I think another, you know, top four is going to be very, very difficult again this year.
Justin Freeberg asked an important question: who looks better with their shirt off, Alexis, Christian, Haaland, or Nunez?
I mean, I'm going to have to go with Nunez.
Haaland got abs, though, doesn't he?
He does, but it's Nunez.
I am bottom of the, the ranking, regardless.
Nunez also has, washboard abs there as well.
See, Nunez has a bit of a tan.
Yeah.
Compared to Erling Haaland, I'm Christian compared to Erling Haaland. Erling Haaland is the whitest cyborg I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He looks like a robot made by Apple Corporation. You know what I mean? It's just pure white.
Look, I'm definitely not above Haaland here. No. So I guess I'm third.
Yeah.
I mean,
we got to go Nunez, Haaland, Christian. Everyone else in the world.
Alexis is also not a, you're not a shirt off guy. You know,
I'm barely that at home. Why would I do that? Why would I remind my wife of the mistake she made? Why would I do that?
I mean, if Alexis could dress like a nun, he would, bro. Just really hide.
I got the white thing with the
hide everything. You know, a lot of shame.
It's hard for me to say that while wearing long sleeves, but that's not true.
Justin Freeber said, "More cushion for the push-in."
Alexis early? Got that washboard brisket, bro. I look, got more cushion for the pushing. Please no pushing. Omar, I've heard this before.
Omar Ramirez said, coaches need to do that more to make players learn from their mistakes. They are too soft.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Look, there's a fine line. A professional player like Raheem Sterling is obviously somebody who plays for the Premier League. The standard is very, very high.
But also, you need their confidence to be high.
Right.
You don't
want
to have to rebuild the player.
You don't want to. Give him emotional support of some kind? No, thanks.
No, get in here. You're already hopping and buzzing.
No, but look, but to some degree, that is fair because it's like how much energy should a coach put in into like
right.
making you feel good? I mean, you are you're paid a handsome amount of money mm-hmm. To do a job. You know, there's obviously morale and things that they have to do, but that is a risk of it, right? If you are just not good enough on a certain day, you get yanked off the pitch.
You can't go too hard though,
right? You can't yank too hard. Everybody knows that.
I mean, if there's one lesson you can take from today is, look, sometimes you think it's going to feel good, but the pain afterwards.
It's not worth it.
Right?
Another thing we wanted to talk about, especially after seeing Leeds, they played a preseason match. I think it was against Cagliari from Italy. And
some of these through balls.
Brandon Aaronson getting a hat trick of assists. This is an interesting thing because Brandon Aaronson is for the U.S. he's more known as either a winger.
He kind of does play winger. That kind of finds himself central sometimes.
But
he's not really your creative.
But for
or Regista almost, which is kind of what he's doing at
Leeds. For
Leeds,
it seems like this kid's gonna be like
Brandon
eight.
Pierlosen, dude.
Okay, Brendan McKinney. I don't know, but I mean that ball outside of the boot, getting to Patrick
perfectly
Benford's
weighted,
foot, I mean,
perfectly weighted,
such a perfect ball. And again, the play after play, we're gonna start seeing Tyler Adams. People have been doing the compilation of touches.
Mm-hmm.
For Tyler Adams, and he had a really good preseason game like a week ago. So we asked ourselves the question, and we'll put it out to the audience as well.
Because we both play fantasy football.
Right.
Fantasy Premier League. I will make a team and forget about it, and then find myself in seventh place at the end of the season. But I kind of feel, you know how like sometimes you want to put a player from your own team? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, of course.
Just to have just like one of your favorite club players in there, even if it's the demise of your team, like in your case, Everton. I kind of feel the calling to put an American in my squad.
Right.
So at least one.
So the question we have is, which American player in the Premier League will have the best fantasy season?
So obviously the best options are Pulisic.
Yeah.
Might not get minutes. I think I looked at this morning, 6 million. Which, if you look at it on the ranking, that's pretty low.
That's pretty low. It's a good deal, maybe.
Right. Brandon Aaronson, 5.5.
And it looks like he's going to be
a steal.
A steal, a starter. Him and Tyler Adams. You know, who knows how these games are going to go? It is, you know, they were playing an Italian team, a lower, you know, bottom of the table kind of Italian team.
Right. Leeds is not going to be. They might not have the opportunity to really be balling
right
this season because they're going to be surviving.
Esteban Osegueda said, as a Leeds fan who didn't like Marsh's appointment, can't lie, I'm excited for what we can get out of this squad. Look at this.
And I know Esteban knows how to pronounce Nunez. Okay. Just off that name, bro.
So, look, changing hearts, changing minds. You know, I thought the loss of Rafinha would be...
No, they got this new kid, Sisteria, what's his name?
Cisneros or...
No.
I know who you're talking about.
Sistinia or something like that.
Yes. So, but I thought the loss of Rafinha was going to be, you know, a little too difficult to overcome. But it looks like it looks like they might be all right. And as far as, you know, we were kind of saying like Leeds might get relegated. I still think they're bottom, maybe at the bottom 10.
Dude, they're certainly not going to be. They're not going to finish in the top 7 or top 10.
But seeing Tyler Adams in the midfield, the one concern I had was, you know, he's a bit of a smaller guy, and the Premier League is no joke when it comes to like just aerial duels and some of these monsters that are back there. And yo, he was holding his own in this game. I know it's only one game.
Sinisterra, and he's Colombiano.
Luis Sinisterra. Okay. Has an injury. Expected
23.
Expected back mid-August.
He's going to be back at the beginning of the season.
So, Yanni Mars said, don't sleep on Bamford. Yeah, Bamford had injury plagued last season.
I thought you got emotional, man. No. I mean, his injury wasn't that bad, dude.
I'm having club soda. Yeah.
His injury wasn't that. He's back, dude.
I just. It was just a really different
injury. I mean, why does it have to hurt for the whole season?
But no, I mean, Bamford, the year before he got hurt, how many goals did he have? He had like 12 or 13. I mean, he was crushing it.
But here's the thing. In order for you to score goals, you need service.
Yes.
Can Brendan Aaronson be that guy?
When you get three assists in a game, even though it's preseason.
And by the way, they weren't like lucky assists or anything. They weren't even like system-based assists.
Yeah.
These were vision, perfectly weighted balls. These were incredible.
I think the impressive thing here, Brendan Aaronson's growth. I mean, we were watching him 2 years, 2-3 years ago.
The baby boy.
For the Philadelphia Union.
Sweet little baby boy. We had to carry him.
And he was good. And you're like, oh, wow, this young kid is good.
And then he went to Salzburg. And we're like, yo, that young man is pretty good.
And it's just the development in, I don't know if it's puberty or what. I don't know. But it was just so instant. It just truly, truly incredible.
But it also goes to show that you have to be a real professional to be able to look at someone playing in a league like MLS and rate how well they can play in Europe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for me to say, like, is he balling because maybe the level of competition isn't as high? Or what are those things that this player is doing that would make me as a scout for a European club go, he could do this in Europe? Watching him do this, even against Cagliari, and it doesn't matter who it is, just watching someone like Brendan Aaronson absolutely shine.
Yeah.
You may not be able to do that week in, week out when you play for a team like Leeds and you're playing in the Premier League because it's difficult. But I'm like, yo, we're gonna get some highlight clips.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna have a compilation at the end of the season. You're gonna have to pick at least 2 to 3 really bad techno songs. Shitty EDM.
But at this point, it does feel like kind of what Esteban was saying about. I think you know Jesse Marsh can like with time can win some people over. And look, and the decisions that he has made, yes, are they biased? He's bringing in American players that he has also coached.
A lot of American players, yeah.
He has also coached. It just feels like there's a lot of pressure on the United States of America on this man because the perception of Americans in Premier League football is going to be helped or hurt
from manager down to player. Isn't Chris Armas now a part of his coaching staff?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Chris
Armas.
Somebody
please confirm. I know he's not with Manchester United anymore.
I still can't believe Chris Armas was with.
But I can see him being with. With Leeds, I guess. They worked together before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chris Armas.
Okay. It doesn't seem like he is.
There's no way to tell. No. Look, to join. Hasn't yet. But Chris Armas to join Leeds United managerial staff.
Look at that.
Get the cones out, my G. That's right. A Puerto Rican in Leeds. Can we just put a GoPro on him when he goes to the store?
So look, I think they're gonna have a good year. If this preseason is
Armis declined to join. What you doing that's better?
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow, you got beef?
Maybe he wants a head coaching job. What's so funny about that?
Probably back in MLS. Well, he failed at that in MLS twice.
I wouldn't say. Didn't he fired, win a supporter shield?
He got fired twice.
How did he get fired twice?
He got fired in
oh, that's Red right. Bull. In Toronto. That's right. Yeah. I mean, but look, there was some success. I believe he won a supporter shield. I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
It could have been Marsh that won that year, but please correct me if I'm wrong. Anyway, okay.
Jamal said, hey, guys, Leeds are getting relegated. welcome, Jamal.
Just a slap of reality.
Bruh, what is that? Did Pep get it from you?
I saw this from let's go to Fabrizio Romano's Twitter. And we see Aaron Ramsey. The rumor was that he was gonna go to Charlotte FC. He had a real offer on the
apparently
table.
Good money too.
And nope, but he's apparently reached an agreement with Nice, OGC Nice. Would have been great to see him in MLS.
Would have been so nice to see him in this league.
There it is, folks. You're welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
There it is. It's so an interesting move for Aaron Ramsey. I know, especially he's
disappointing because I think he would have been balling in MLS.
I think so too.
But it's a good opportunity to see him with a team that actually wants to play him.
And Charlotte's a good team.
And Christian Fuchs is already there.
Right.
You know?
So
hot though. Hot.
For a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I just played in my Sunday league game, 90-degree heat, no subs, and down a man. 2-2. And I scored a goal.
Bro. That's what we do, bro.
Bro. I mean, it was... I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud. I had nothing to do with it.
I hate all my teammates who didn't show up.
yeah.
But it was a real test of character, strength. You know, you have to have that the psychological, your mental got to be straight.
Yeah.
For you to be able to.
You
got to
come in with your mind right.
Okay. I'm here. I'm here to teach some of these footballers,
young bloods,
how to do it. All right.
You got to get your mental straight. And your mental got to be straight.
What else did? Oh yeah, I want to play this clip real quick for just maybe a couple seconds. This is.
Are we allowed to?
Yes, this is just a regular TikTok. This is just an informational video.
And this is how our YouTube gets taken down.
There's nothing to get taken down. This is from FIFA. So this is the introduction of the new automated offside technology.
Offside technology.
So let me just play.
Which, by the way, we may have joked around a little bit when people were like, we're going to come up with our own goal line technology. And it has worked.
It kind of, yeah. I mean, without that, it's like
at the very least,
the goal line technology. When we've come up, what are you talking about?
When they said we're going to come up with our own goal line technology, because wasn't there a goal line technology that was like really advanced? And then Premier League or FIFA were like, we're going to come up with our own. And we're like, you ain't got it like that, bro.
Okay. I don't even think you updated your iPhone.
I think some of y'all still on flip phone, bro. Sepp Blatter don't look like he does this thing with his iPhone, bro.
Goal line technology, yeah, has worked out without it.
At the very least, we're like, all right, if the dude's Apple Watch buzzes, it's a goal. You know what I mean?
Right.
We've at least accepted it.
My man, his Fitbit is going off.
His Whoop band or whatever these people are using these days.
But this is
a little bit different.
So now, you know, obviously in Premier League, especially and the leagues where they use the offside lines and try to match it up.
Also, your recommended videos are wild, bro.
What is this show?
What you watching?
This is one of those.
Pimple popping.
But I'm not logged in. This is not recommended.
Oh, this is just
this
random.
This is just the random stuff. I wish I could put it full screen, but I can't. Anyway, ignore the pimple popping. But the offside line has been the thing where it upsets a lot of people because it's like it doesn't really make sense. It's
right.
it's almost too accurate and kind of feels like it ruins the game.
Yes.
And now they are introducing a new offside system that includes cameras to track data points on the limbs of the actual players.
This is great.
And to track, there's a sensor inside the ball. So here, I mean, you can see, let's play maybe 30 seconds of this.
I'm going to say this is too much before I watch this.
So let's take a look, yeah.
A support tool for video match officials to help them make faster and more accurate offside decisions by automatically determining the relative position of the key players at the exact moment when the ball is played. Adidas's official match ball for the FIFA World Cup 2022 will play a key role in the detection of tight offside incidents. A sensor in the center of the ball sends inertial data 500 times per second, allowing a more precise detection of the kick point compared to conventional broadcasts and optical tracking, which are limited to 50 frames per second. In addition, 12 dedicated tracking cameras mounted underneath the roof of each stadium track the ball and 29 points on the body of each individual player, 50 times per second, calculating their exact position on the pitch. The 29 points include all limbs and extremities that are relevant for offside.
This is so much.
Allowing the team in the video operation room.
This is how the machines take over.
We can stop it there. You get the idea. I mean, they are now going to be tracking, limb joint points on the player's body, and they're going to be tracking the ball. It said 500 hertz. So basically, 500 times per second, they're going to be tracking when the ball is struck or the movement of the ball, and they can determine if something was offside or not. This is one of those things where I'm like, do we really need this?
I'm going to give you a way where this can be used and it will not upset fans.
Okay.
Similar to the goal line technology, you make it a light or a buzz. If you show the fans that, just like when they show the lines of VAR, everyone's like, get up. You know what I mean? You're showing, it's too much data.
Yeah.
It just seems like, it seems ridiculous. Like everybody just hates nerds. You know what I mean? We don't want to see no nerd
this
shit.
This is very anti-nerd. Like, what, these nerds shouldn't be involved in our game.
Top of the goal, on the crossbar, you put a little green and red light.
Hold on. Chris Matassa said, we know which points on their body they'll be tracking.
If you want me to cheer for the sport, I need to see from the whole shaft. Can you track the whole shaft?
Yeah, the shaft was offside, bro.
Man, I'm going to go double check and make sure with my bare hands.
Slow it down for me. I need to make sure.
Maybe even with my mouth. I don't care, bro. The sport needs to be perfect.
Get these women out of here.
They're ruining the party, dude.
Oh my God.
Did anyone get buckets of Crisco? Anyway, listen. What I was saying is a little light and just turn it on or off so that the fans could just focus on that. Because the moment you start to go into 29 cameras and here's the limbs and, you know, you're tracking 500 every second. It's too much, bro.
Wildly complicated.
This upsets people.
I'm admittedly a huge nerd. I love all the tech.
You're a data points guy.
I'm like, look, how many cameras? Okay.
Okay.
What's the
are they Ethernet? Right? You ask a question. We HDMI in each of them?
Okay. I'm a fan of all this stuff, but when you bring it into this game, I'm like, bro, an intellectual like me, I will understand it, but you know, a more
the layman,
okay? Okay. I just know, and
that's right. You see me ripping paper up in the corner, it's too much. Maybe the rule isn't written correctly. If you need 29 cameras and a sensor in the ball and for everyone's limbs to be measured, maybe the rule isn't written correctly.
Right. It seems like, I mean, this 100% feels like one of those, like these corporate, like a startup that's trying to sell you a product you don't need,
right.
Convincing, because you're not trying to sell the product anymore. Mm-hmm. You're trying to sell the problem, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to say like, you need this because this is really a problem in
your
life,
right.
And this will fix it for you.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody just, I mean, the salesman who pitched this and sold this is a genius.
There's just someone at the offside technology office cutting a penny with a knife. Like, why is I needed that penny, dude. What are you doing?
This just seems like a bit much. I mean, just take a look at it. If it looks offside, it's offside. I mean, why do we need this? This is probably going to cost millions of dollars to install across all these stadiums.
Oh no, and it already has been.
Oh well, yeah, I'm just saying. That's it. Just seems like in the things that people complain about in the game, nobody's complaining about getting the offsides call pinpoint correctly. I don't think nobody's really complaining.
No,
about
I
that.
Think the team that it goes against is complaining
when it's obvious. Yes. But if it's a toe,
but the way the rule's written is, it can't just be like, well, it looked offside. It has to be, is it or is it not?
Right. I mean, the way the rule is written now.
Wouldn't it have been easier if we just did what Arsene Wenger wanted, and if any part is onside, you're onside?
Yeah. Yeah. That's an option. I don't know.
But then we'd be like, oh, his toe is just off. You know what I mean?
But yeah, this feels, Delboy said, the salesman more like the bribesman.
Yeah, pretty much. Snake oil? Oh, no, I was supposed to wipe that up. It's an offside technology.
My pen only has snake oil in it or whatever. Anyway.
Yanni Mars said, and CONCACAF won't have VAR anymore. VAR's too expensive, bro. Gas went up. It's a supply chain issue.
Jamal said, it is actually not bad. Too much money involved to not have perfect calls. I don't know.
The point is, if the
perfect is such a impossible standard.
If the rule is creating you to need this type of technology, my question is, should we not look at the rule first?
I agree.
You know what I mean?
And then does this really make the game more entertaining or more fun? I mean, even when we went to Goodison Park and Richarlison scores two goals.
Gave me hope.
I believe it was the second goal that was taken away was... I mean, it was so slightly of a nothing offside that it feels ridiculous at that point. But I understand, was he technically offside? Of course he was. But when it's by such minor, minuscule
margins. See, and this is
what
I'm
going to
say. I'm glad VAR was there.
it feels a little ridiculous. So it just seems like what we have is already... accurate enough.
Right.
And I don't think introducing this is going to make the calls that much more accurate.
Jamie Boyce said, it may cost millions to install, but incorrect calls in football cost football clubs far more. It's an extra $2.7 million for every position you finish higher up on the table. That's not millions more. You know what I mean? If it costs you millions, only one of those teams that goes up gets that bump. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't necessarily agree with you. Also, that money probably could be used to sign better players.
I do get that, but I would say
I get the theory.
More importantly, it's the quality and entertainment value of the game is to me. That's what we should prioritize rather than getting every call perfect, because every call is not perfect, right?
I think we can do both.
No, I don't think we can do both, because you have to give up something, right? The referee calls a game from their own perspective,
right?
And every foul is not called.
It's like balls and strikes. Sometimes you got to catch the umpire's vibe.
So there's going to be calls where a referee doesn't give advantage, and they should, and.
Or maybe he'll give you one back.
So you can make that argument about, you know, the $2.7 million every, you know, it's too important. I get that. But there's other factors in the game that affect its entertainment value. If a referee is calling a foul and blowing the whistle every single time there's any contact, that affects the not only will that affect the result of the game, but that affects the quality.
If that was the case, then no one would watch the NBA.
That's a complaint people make. And
NBA is wildly popular.
It is wildly popular, but I personally watch it way less than I do soccer for that reason, because there's so much stoppage. I mean, it's not a knock on the game. I enjoy the game.
Okay, so you hate basketball. I get it. I mean, just say that, bro.
But I just think that if trying to meet the standard of getting every call perfect, I think that takes away from the enjoyment of the game.
See, and I disagree. I think it's advantageous for the league to want to make sure that the calls are correct, so you're not giving an advantage to one team over the other, and you're not having to be like, oh, I apologize, we got that call wrong, you should have scored a goal, and that team now suffers to that point.
Right.
But at the same time, you can overload a fan base that is used to a sport that has no stoppages or no real natural stoppages in it. So I think put a little light somewhere in the stadium, as opposed to this 30-minute. If you're getting 500 signals a second from the ball, you'll know immediately if it was offside or not. As soon as the goal scored, everyone's eyes turn to a light. Green means you good. Red means nah. Wham, wham, right? Just like all the Fortnite and all the games you're playing these days.
P. Morton said,
it's simple.
I mean,
it's simple. You're going to get less fans going nuts. And then they're going to go home and then they're going to view the highlight and they're going to see the stupid digitized technology. And by that point, you've already calmed down. But when you do the VAR and you're showing the someone, you know, manually moving the lines to where they think the shirt stopped.
Right.
In a pixelated shot. It's crazy.
Jamal said the tech is actually good because you couldn't actually tell when the ball was played from a freeze frame. This tech removes that mistake, which I agree with. And the nerd in me loves that part of it because there's so much data being delivered.
Right.
Instead of just basing it on what the camera
and
is
it's
catching.
Still on a guy on a person's judgment call,
yeah,
regardless of the technology.
Decision, final decision, yes,
it's ridiculous.
But that is accurate. So because there's so much more information being delivered, and not just you know what the camera can catch. Cameras have frames, and they're not absolutely constant unless they're like it's like 5,000 frames per second. Which right. Why would you capture a game in that?
Right.
You don't get. There's no hard drive.
Yeah. Here's your 700 terabyte first half.
Yeah. So that part of it is good. The technology is going to be useful to that degree, but I mean, do we need it? That's the overall question. That's where Alexis and I differ. Okay, and definitely a lot of people in the chat as well. Michael Raymond said, "I don't say this enough, but Alexis has a very good point."
Whoa. Also, Gamer Sav said, "I agree. I think it's true. Stopping the game would piss off fans."
Look at this.
Wow.
That deserves a...
True haters in the chat now loving me, bro.
There we go. Okay. Okay, what else did I have on the agenda? Nothing else. I think that's it.
Delboy said Dropbox the offside. Yo, could you like Amazon? Could you Google Drive me?
Hey, airdrop it or something.
It's too much. Too heavy.
Anything else before we go? Didn't Cristiano Ronaldo play finally his first preseason
did
game?
Did he?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And
he's back with the camp.
People were making fun of the Manchester United Twitter account because they tweeted out a clip of a shot that he missed. He skied it over the bar, and it basically said, Cristiano gets his first chance of the game or something, and it's just a brutal miss.
Right.
And so people think that the Manchester United admin or, you know, at Manchester United are posting negative things about or to make him look
agitating
to
Ronaldo.
To make him look bad.
I could see that.
I like
petty vibes.
He didn't show up to work.
Yeah, bro.
And didn't. We don't know the reason why.
I know they said a family issue, but we don't all believe all of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I hope that's not the case. But whatchamacallit? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think he stays with Manchester United this year?
No one else wants him. I don't see. I think there's too much drama around him, and then
too much wages too.
The wages, and then after seeing the season that Manchester United had, even though you know he'll probably bring you a bunch of goals, but I think he's not he's not going to make the team better. That's really he's going to score goals, which everyone appreciates, but there's 10 other players on the pitch. And there's a bench, and you need to have either a good locker room, you need to have a good morale, and it doesn't seem like that's what he provides.
Which Arsenal has right now. I'm really loving the way they're
and they win like
unified.
6-0 to somebody.
Oh yeah, we just beat Sevilla.
Right.
Did you see the clip of Unai Emery signing autographs?
I didn't.
And someone was like, good evening, do it, dude, do good evening. And another guy was like, you'll leave him alone. I actually think you had a great time as an Arsenal manager. I think you did great. And the guy kept going, good evening, say it, dude, let's hear your accent, good evening. And he just goes to the guy's camera.
That's amazing.
Let's go, Unai Emery.
He's not a clown.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just a guy that doesn't speak English as his first language.
Yeah. He was like, ask your mother about my dick, dude. He didn't say that, but it's essentially what he said.
In fluent English.
Yeah, he said that shit in Espanol, bro.
The other thing I wanted to bring up real quick, Idrissa Gueye, Fabrizio Romano.
This is what everyone's worried about. Everton transfer watch.
No, I talk about this because we talked about Idrissa Gueye recently because he he is a player that he's the Jalen Daniels of PSG, right. Where he didn't want
to
wear,
refuses to wear the gay pride numbers.
Yeah, the rainbow,
right?
Any rainbow, anything during games, and so Everton is
so ironic him, with the name gay. It's just ironic.
But we talked about him a couple months ago. And I don't know. So what I've heard from, because he's obviously not made any particular statement.
No,
but
he just has injuries during those
what country
pride
is
matches.
He from?
I believe Senegal.
I think it's Senegal. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But basically, so what I've heard
nope.
is.
Yep, Senegalese.
It's illegal to be gay.
Or it is
in Senegal. So that's the reason why he doesn't wear these. Which I sure whatever what if that's an excuse. But I wonder, given especially how Everton is obviously a very welcoming team. They're very inclusive,
right?
They're very open about that. A lot of Premier League clubs are.
And he
played there before.
Right.
And I wonder if this is going to become an issue again. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be.
I hope it gets addressed. And I hope it gets fixed. Might be the worst word to use there.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope,
I just think, more than anything, I just think if this is. I just want to know the truth, right? I hate the, like, oh, I'm not going to play this game because there's a rainbow. Like, right. Just be like, just. Say where you stand.
Yeah, dude, I'm a hateful person. So
you leave it up to us to assume that you are.
This is the issue we've been talking about from the beginning. Whenever these issues arise, whether it's somebody being a bad dude or having thoughts that don't really fit in today's society,
yeah.
Things like that. When you don't say it. You leave it up to us to decide. And guess what? It feels like it gets worse when you do that, dude.
I don't want to be talking about it. Just let me know where you stand, At least, like, Jalen Daniels is, like, she's straight up, religious this, religious that. And
wow, Jamal said 50 years imprisonment.
Yeah. So, look, if it's maybe he's like, yo, I'm afraid of going back to my country and getting into some trouble.
Say that.
Then say that. I mean, like,
you don't even have to say I am, but just say, like, hey, that's illegal in my country and I don't want to put myself and my family at risk. Everyone would understand.
Exactly.
No one would agree. Some people would want you to maybe be a bit more brave, but I would certainly understand.
But it's definitely, even if he doesn't want to wear, like, it's obviously his choice to do right. that. Nobody's saying that doesn't have the right to do that. But I think it just the being vague and not being clear about it, I think it makes it more complicated, I think, for a fan base.
Did Everton drop a third kit yet?
Did they? I don't think, though. I don't think so.
Drop that rainbow sash, Everton. Let's see what happens.
Okay. GamerSoft said it really is barbaric. I agree. It is.
I want to respect religion, but I think your religion should. No, no. I mean, I don't believe in anything, but I think your religion should also respect others. So,
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. I mean,
that's all I'll leave it at.
All right. Do we end there? I think we are good to go. Tomorrow, exciting stuff. We're gonna be doing the show from a different location than usual. We are going to be at the NYCFC training ground. Doing the show live, so tune in tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's gonna be a lot of fun. There might be some surprises. There might be some folks who hop on. Maybe we'll get on. Take some free kicks with against Sean Johnson.
I'm gonna say no.
So it'll be really, really fun. So tune in tomorrow because it's gonna be a really exciting show. Anything else before we go?
No. Thank you for everyone who's hit the subscribe button. Thank you for everyone who hit the like button so far. If you haven't yet, hit that like button right now. Thank you to all the new members of Gully Squad. You guys are absolutely incredible. If you want to join the Patreon, go to shoutstous.com, or you can just simply go to soccercooligans.com/. Gully Squad, or you can go to patreon.com/soccercooligans.
There we go.
So many different places.
Right. And another reminder, MLS All-Star is next week. We will be there in Minnesota. If anybody's going to be there, please say hello. We'll be around.
We're also doing a stand-up show.
We're doing a stand-up show at the Black Heart.
Very limited space.
Right. So you can get tickets. If you go to the Black Hearts website, you can see. And Black Heart, H-A-R-T, is that's the way heart is spelled. But we're going to be doing a stand-up show there. It's going to be super, super fun. All-star stand-up. And hopefully.
Maybe we'll do some Q&A or something.
Yeah.
You know, Gully Squad got first access to the tickets. So that means there's not that many left.
Right.
Again, very intimate. We're going to have a couple of... We're going to try to get a couple surprises, but I think for the most part, just expect us. You know, just know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, the Black Heart is, they're like family. They're one of the best. Yeah. So that's why we're doing it there.
So tickets are, there's a couple tickets available. If you're listening to this now and you are in Minnesota or you're going to be in Minnesota for the show, get them immediately. Because I think there's like less than 10 left or something.
Yeah,
like
there's not that many. They're just about done. But I know that there is, they're not completely sold out. So hurry up if you are listening to this or watching.
Okay. And all right, that's it, everybody. Thank you again. Shout out to OSNYC for welcoming us, as always. Come through for some gaming, for some drinks. And then might be dogs running around, too. I don't know.
Yeah, a couple pups.
The puppies. So y'all the absolute best. Thank you so much for hanging out, everyone in the chat. We will see you tomorrow from NYCFC's training ground. So come through. It'll be dope. All right, we'll see you, everybody.
Love you guys. Yeah.